Blog Talk Radio.
And any man who knows a thing knows he knows not a damn thing at all. And every time I felt the hurt and I felt the giving getting me up off the wall, I'm just gonna take a minute and let it ride. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it breathe. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it ride. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it breathe.
How did Mandela get the will to surpass the...
Good morning. This is Real Talk Radio. I am your host, Kate Sherrell, America's favorite Southern Belle. Thank you for joining me so bright and early this morning. Time to take a minute and let everything breathe. Take a minute and let everything ride. Right now, I'm going to go ahead and say good morning to the co-host, Mr. Jordan Lamar. Good morning.
Good morning, people. Good morning to you, too, Kate Sherrell. How are you doing?
Just want to say what's up to all of my listeners down in Sylvester. It was fun doing the show with you the last couple of weeks, but I had to come home to the ATL. It was time to come back. So,
I asked you how you doing if you didn't say anything to me.
Wow. Are we really going to do that? Did you just hear Kaylin say take a minute, Joyce? Just let it ride.
Yeah, I guess
I'm
you're
doing
right.
Good. How are you doing? Are you doing well? You seem to be quite active this morning.
I'm fantastically well, honestly. Beautiful Saturday morning. Why wouldn't you be extremely happy today?
All right. Since you're doing so fantastically well, why don't you go ahead and tell the listeners what we're talking about this morning?
Well, today's topic, Brown versus Board of Education. Were we better off separate? As an African American, personal experience, I mean, personal opinion, I feel like no. I think that was the best thing to happen for us.
That's
how about
quite
you?
You know what? I've been struggling with this for a while, and I've had many conversations over the years about this, and I'm still kind of torn. I'm still torn over this. I'm not sure on one aspect coming from the educational world, I say that we were better off segregated. But looking at the other aspects of it, I'm going to say, no, we weren't. So, I don't know, maybe by the end of the show, I'll pick one particular side to stand on. My listeners out there, maybe you can. I'm going to tell you right now that this call-in number is 646-595-4522. That is the number which you can call in if you would like to talk to me later on in the show. We'll definitely be taking calls. If I have any listeners, everything is cool. We're in the summer day time. Please call in and talk to me. Because I would love to know what school was like during the times of segregation versus times now. I mean, I would definitely love to know especially one way to get it up.
Hello. So, let's see. What we're going to do today is, first of all, start off with the whole idea. Do you really think that being separated from back then it was African Americans from Caucasian Americans, do you honestly believe that we were better off separate? Because, I mean, if you think about it, we were in our own environment. We had our own people. It was to the point where there were 30 to 40 people, 40 kids, inside of a one-bedroom shack. I mean, that's very small, extremely small. And all of those kids wanted to learn. Today, most black people don't even want to sit in a 50-by-50 classroom by themselves and learn. It's a big difference.
I agree. All right, so let's... Just jump right on into it. We'll do our week in retrospect a little bit later. Of course, the lovely co-host, as always, you know, he has so much to talk about. I swear some days you think that this is his show.
Oh, I know you did. You were true.
Fall down. So, in the discussion. discussion last night talking about Brown versus the Board of Education, found out some very, very interesting information about the particular court case. One thing that I did not know, and I'm going to let George talk about this a little bit more since this is his thing, I'm not going to steal his thunder, but I did not realize that there were 200 different cases where it was...
where these people were involved. I understand. I just found that out, too. Like, Brown versus Board of Education was a case, but it was talking about 200 specific people that were denied their rights to go to a specific school.
So how did Brown end up on the top of the case file? Like, why was it? Why didn't all this Brown versus the Board of Education versus Brown versus 200 other people?
Because if you notice that if you have been through any legal system and it's a multiple people, they usually call your name out by in alphabetical order. So if your name was first and your last name was first, they call your name first. That's exactly how it ended up. It just, and it stuck. I guess it became popular when they say Brown, that's the last name that they speak of, versus Board of Education, then they'll say something like, all parties that are with him or being tried, that's how they started off.
Wow. Okay, and so the basis of this case was saying that separate but equal was actually not equal. But, I mean, I'm thinking about it in this sense. Is anything really equal? I mean, you look at the various school systems we have now, and nothing is segregated per se. So is it really equal? I mean, I started teaching in a school system where all of the classroom had chalkboards. You know?
That's ancient days.
I mean, that's a great Ware County school system. When I started teaching in 2005, 2006 school year, we had chalkboards. That's what we used to teach by. You know, laptops were not prevalent all over the school. You still had, you know, some out-to-date desktops. There were still desktops that actually used, you know, the big floppy disk. So, is that equal? Is that equal to other school systems who now have all of these things that call digital classrooms? You know, kids have access to the internet, you know, in every room. All of these things, is that really equal?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I guess that's all about how you see it or what you feel is equal. Because, I mean, do you feel like the people in position, I mean, obviously, more whites than black, but the people who are black, are they doing all that they can to make things equal?
I don't know. That's what we have to determine by the end of this show.
Exactly. I guess that's the thing. That's the big catch.
Okay, now let me talk about where I'm coming from with this segregation thing, and that in one aspect, I feel like we were better off segregated. And I say this just because as a teacher, I'm looking at the different, you know, things that go on in education that really sort of hurt the African-American community. One thing that I feel like really hurts is when you can go through your entire school career and never have a teacher that racially you can relate to.
Yeah.
That, I feel, hurts us. Because when I started teaching, and I was a seventh grade teacher, I had many students who I was the first black teacher they ever had. PE, chorus, band, never had a black teacher, all the way to the seventh grade. So you're looking at kids who started school, possibly like kindergarten, maybe even pre-K, going through and never had a teacher who racially they could identify with.
I don't understand that. I mean, do black people have less patience or something to the point where they don't want to teach those grades? Or is it just black people don't want to be teachers, deal with children?
Well, actually, no, that was not the case. It was the fact that they weren't being hired.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the thing. I mean, they weren't being hired. And I just sort of relate to what they were saying. I had one or two black teachers, but that was it. I mean, there were only one or two in the building, and it was not that they did not want to teach. I mean, because the county that I was at, the neighboring school, the neighboring university was Albany State University, an HBCU. So they're graduating teachers every semester, but they weren't being hired. When you had segregation in the black school, were black teachers.
Yes, now that's the problem. Like that is like a big problem when you have a college literally in the next county. You have a college in the next county and you do not get the teachers that are coming straight out of there. Why wouldn't you get them, train them? You know what I'm saying? You have people who will stay there long term and the graduation rate may go up drastically, especially in that county.
Exactly. I can agree with that. And you have teachers who started teaching back in, I don't know, the 60s and the 70s, still holding down their jobs. And I'm wondering, how are they truly able to evolve to the point where they will be effective teachers in the 21st century? I'm not understanding that because they began teaching before there were even computers. So now you're looking at a generation that is technology savvy. You have 3-year-olds walking around texting, but you have teachers in the classroom who a computer class was not even an option when they went to their formal education to become a teacher. I question how effective you are beyond a certain point. I felt like that maybe some of those teachers should have been replaced with some young blood, and that's not trying to say it in a racial sense, but let's be honest. You didn't grow up during an era of something. If something was not, you know, this is not what you were used to using on a day-to-day basis, you know, you're beginning to learn how to do it. How savvy are you with it? I mean, because I will admit that I didn't grow up with the Internet. Internet was something that came along when I was in college, and it has taken me many years to sort of, I guess you could say, become Internet savvy. And even with that, I know I'm not as effective as someone who is possibly a decade behind me who the Internet was there when they were in, you know, grade school. I know that. And I can recognize the fact because you can only learn so much from a textbook. The rest of it you learn from using.
Yes. So, I mean, I guess if you look at this Brown versus Board of Education, it didn't just really speak about education either. It spoke about everything as far as stereotypes, racial discrimination, and things like that, like separate, like two different bathrooms, that type of thing. It did away with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to figure out why is it still, it's still the same thing in a sense. Because, like, if you don't let black teachers teach in your school, I mean, you're pretty much keeping us separate. If you notice that all the black teachers are going to black counties and that's where they're getting hired.
Exactly.
It's the same exact thing. It's kind of crazy that it comes down to that. Every now and then you'll have the few black teachers that actually make it inside of a white county, but they're very light-skinned. I mean, it's kind of crazy. Let's just say how it is.
I mean, I'm not going to say that they're very light-skinned, but it's like there's a quota, and you're not going to go over the quota for that. That's the way I see it. You know, it's like, okay, we recognize that we have no minority teaching here. They're going to say, okay, you're discriminating, things like that. So what we're going to do is we're going to strategically place one or two in every school to say that we do have them. And then our excuse for not hiring anymore, we're going to use things such as they aren't highly qualified.
Yeah, we have all two of them. Yeah, we got them. Like, that's crazy. And how could you say that they're not qualified if they have graduated, first of all? Obviously, they're qualified. I mean, grad school, after you graduate from grad school, I feel like any job, you should be ready to work. I mean, honestly. I'm not saying this isn't truck driving where your experience speaks for yourself. I mean, honestly, I feel like you can come in, learn the routine, jump in, and begin to work right then. Like, how do you get experience? You don't just get experience after you graduate. You have to build that up.
I mean, you do have to build it up. And the thing about education that's different from other degrees, which I can kind of disagree with you on the fact that you just graduate and you're automatically ready to work, that depends on the hands-on experience. And education is one of those degrees where you do have to student teach in order to graduate. So I can agree that with that, you should be qualified to now work. I mean, with any job, until you actually get on the job and you actually do it, you'll know how well you are. But if you are formally educated in what is expected and what you do in a classroom,
you
and you've
equipped.
Had, you know,
you
the 9 months experience, you are ready.
Yeah. I mean, you at least have the tools. You know the tools, put it like that. And especially graduating from grad school, they're going to teach you everything about, when I say everything, I mean everything about computers. Like, especially using database charts or whatever. You're going to learn how to use that because that's what we're going by today. School system is ever-changing.
It is ever-changing. It is ever-changing. And that's why I think, you know, that for one thing, you have to teach too long in education to retire. I've said that, and I'm going to continue to say it, because 25, 30 years is too long to retire. Think about how many things have changed in the last 5 years. How many things have changed in the last 10 years? So you're telling me that for 30 years, someone is qualified to teach.
30 years? 30 years? What, McDonald's had just came out with, what, the Chicken McNugget? Like, what, in, like, seriously? Like, 30 years is a long time to be teaching and to just, I guess, expect them to be able to just adapt so easily. I mean, obviously, every teacher, I find this interesting. In a lot of classes in high school, teachers teach exactly the same thing every single year, pretty much to the point where they have the same test every single year. They have pretty much the same study guides, the same exact everything every single year. If they're not changing, you tell me how are we really learning? Like, seriously. I mean, I can get somebody from the grade above me to give me everything that they had last semester. You know what I'm saying? Something that easy.
And it's funny that you would say that, because when I was in high school, we were actually able to do that. That was a particular teacher who gave the same test every year. Students that had already came through his class had already figured out the little grading system, and so they had already told us, like, okay, he has two separate tests, but the questions are in five increments. So your 1 through 5 will be this person's 6 through 10, and the answers are going to be the same regardless. And so that's exactly what we did, because the information did not change. And I think that was one of the things now that, since the government has taken such a strong arm to education as far as testing and things like that, is one of the things that they're trying to eliminate. But I still see so many flaws in the educational system. Right now, we're going to go to the lines. I have several callers on. I appreciate you for holding on. We're definitely going to get to you at some point. Just please be patient. Those of you who are still listening and you need to call in, number is 646-595-4522. Right now, I'm going to take my first caller. Good morning, caller. You are on the air with Kay Sherelle. I'm looking at a 229 number. Who am I speaking with?
This is Tia.
Good morning, Tia. What is your
comment
for Brown versus the Board of Education for me and Mr. Joy Lamar?
Yes, I've been listening to the show, and I feel that even though the government says we are equal now, I still don't see it that way. I, too, am a teacher, and I work in the education system, and I have some other friends that are teachers. If we were the same, we would have the same books, the same equipment. We wouldn't have to worry about schools not meeting certain requirements that is said that we have to meet every year if we were equal. We wouldn't have to worry about having so many students not meeting the bar and having so many teachers cheating to meet the bar. So
yeah.
it really doesn't matter. 30 years is too long to say that, you can retire now. With what we have to go through, with all that they put on us, we're not teachers anymore. We're everything.
Exactly.
And in the correctional department, they can retire at 10 years. Once they do 10 years, they're good. So why can't teachers retire after, you know, 20 or 15 to 25 years? Why do we have to wait till 30 years with all that we have to put up with all that we have to do, all the many hats that we have to wear? If it was equal, then all teachers would wear those hats. All teachers don't wear the same hat. I've been to different schools where the principal puts down her foot and she says, look, my teachers are here to teach and that's it. They're not here to be the mom or the dad or the counselor, the preacher, none of that. But yet and still, other schools, we have to be those different things. So it's not equal. It's not the same. We're still separate. It's just a matter of changing words and tweaking things to make it sound good.
Exactly. I can completely agree with you in that sense, and that's what I'm saying, because look at it this way. When we were segregated, this was the difference. Yes, you still had some of your tedious things to do, but you knew for a fact that the teachers were there to teach, and the students at that time were highly aware of the importance of education. I don't think that you have so many teachers now that are there because they want to teach. In many schools you do, and it's very easy to pick those teachers out who are there to teach versus those who are there to draw a paycheck. But if you're looking at a school that is there for solely African-American students, you have African-American teachers that are there to teach them, I feel like the quality of the education they would receive would be better, because you now have someone who feels like they're vested in it, their students.
I agree.
They're drawing a paycheck.
Exactly, and that's the sad part, because so many teachers come in, and as you were saying about, we have to do student teaching. So we are somewhat qualified for a job when we graduate, because we have to go into the field before we can even graduate. So it shouldn't be an issue of hiring someone. You can still mold them as you need to for, you know, your specific situation. But many times they will not hire different teachers who have just graduated. Those teachers have new ideas that can help our new age children, because they're not the same as we were a few years ago. And it's not all the teachers' fault. It's part of the, you know, parents' fault too, because we don't have a lot of parents that take education as being important. But being that the teachers are the ones that have to wear all these different hats and have so much pressure put on them, and then they're stifled when it comes to their creativity of teaching the students. It's like, okay, I'm just going to come here, do the bare minimum, get my check, and leave.
Exactly.
And your good teachers are being pushed to the side.
See, I'm not understanding how a teacher could come in, have so many fresh and new ideas, and then they're limited by the, I guess, the boss, or in a sense. All these requirements begin to get them discouraged, and I don't understand why must, I guess, you pretty much crush their dreams. I mean, if a teacher loves to do what they do, let them do what they do the best way that they know how to teach the children, to get the children well equipped for the next grade or even for college. I don't understand why the system tries to keep teachers from doing what they do best.
Because it's not what you know, it's who you know.
That's it. T, I want to say thank you for calling in this morning. I hope you will continue to listen to the show as we continue to discuss things. So let's just keep the thing moving right now. Jordan, any comments before I take another call? Anything you want to add in?
Honestly, I just want to see what the caller has to say. Let's see.
All right. So I'm getting ready to take a call right now. I am looking at your 78 number. I'm taking your call. Good morning, y'all. On the air with Kay Sherrill. This is Real Talk Radio with Judd Lamar. Who am I speaking with? Hello? All righty then. We're going to move right along to the very next caller. Caller, another 229. This is going to be interesting. Good morning, y'all. On the air with Kay Sherrill. Who am I speaking with?
Okay, we hear somebody in the background.
Somebody in the background is talking. You want to be on the air? Okay, I guess not. This has just been a very unsuccessful call-in the last two.
I just don't get it, though. Like, seriously. Like, how could, I guess this is double-edged sword. This is what I'm thinking. Like, you can have African-Americans separated from Caucasians or from everybody else, and we can learn. We can learn everything the same way. I guess what I don't understand is, after we graduate, why must our education be looked at as belittled or is a little bit less than the Caucasian Americans?
Well,
it seems like if you graduate from a HBCU, you graduated from Albany State. Well, I got this guy right here who graduated from Georgia Southern, and it looks even if he's more qualified. No, it's not. I don't understand how the education is different. Education is very well the same. Because, I mean, honestly, if I learn the same exact thing with you and I have less resources, I feel like I've learned a little bit more than you just because I didn't have as many resources.
Well, that's the thing about it, and I'm glad you said that because I was actually going to make that one of my points. And I find that it comes from, first, it comes from our own. And this, to me, is a learned behavior that has come along since, you know, the end of segregation. Many things that were not so prevalent in the African-American community are now here. And I'm not going to blame it on, you know, our counterparts, but I am. Because it was learned behavior from feeling inferior to them. Even once we went into their schools, we were then looked upon as though we were still inferior. And that's the same thing that we have now when you look at different universities. And I have to say that I get extremely defensive and very offended when someone else who is African-American, Black, Afro-American, however you refer to yourself, looks down upon me because I graduated from an HBCU. And my response is, how dare you? Because I went to a school that was founded by our own, that was there for our own, and I was taught by our own. So how dare you look down upon me because of that? And that's one of the things that really sort of disturbs me. And I'm not saying that everyone should want to go to an HBCU because they're Black, but my thing is, you should not have a negative attitude about it, and it really disturbs me because why wouldn't you? This school was founded for you. It was founded for you.
I can completely agree with you on the whole idea that it was founded for our own, by our own. And I guess the thing is with me, I'm like more on the opposite. I'm like on the two-way mirror in a sense. I'm looking through at you type thing because I don't quite understand how I could be in the world, work with white people, and not go to school with them. I guess that's why I say I feel like we were integrating was the best thing for us. Because when you work in America, like unless you plan on being a complete entrepreneur your entire life, you're gonna have to deal with the white people regardless. That's gonna happen. You know what I'm saying? Unless you're working in an African American school system and things like that. But I know this. The field that I plan on going in, what I plan on doing, I'm going to end up working with some white person regardless. You know what I'm saying? So I don't see how, okay, I guess the example I would use is Obama, the black man. He is the Black, I would call him the N-word, but this is the Black man of America right now. Nobody's calling him an Uncle Tom, but yet he still deals with these white people from a distance. He is playing the game, and I completely respect that. And I don't see how going to an HBCU, I'm not down and I love HBCUs at all, but what I am saying is I don't see how completely just saying I'm going to an HBCU because I don't want to go to school with white people. That is crazy. Because you're not going to live in this world without white people.
I mean, you're not going to live in this world without, you're not going to get an education without. I mean, Jordan, there are white students at Albany State. There are many
right.
of them because they get scholarships.
Right.
You have to look at it like this. If you don't go to an HBCU, the majority of your classmates are Black. You go anywhere else, majority of your classmates are white.
Right. White.
So, you have to kind of pick which one you want to do. And I'm going to say that was one of the sellers for me for Albany State is that the majority of my classmates would then be Black because I had already went through a school system where the majority of my classmates were white, and I needed something different. And the thing about it is, and this was the big difference, I mean, yes, you're going to have to live in the world with them. No one said that we weren't, but this is the biggest difference that I found in talking to classmates of mine who went to a predominantly white university. The biggest difference was my professors at Albany State were there because they wanted to be there.
And that is a thing that I would actually, I guess, promote because HBCUs, not to say that they're all small because there are a lot of huge HBCUs, but it seems like everything is more personal in HBCU.
Exactly.
Like everything, like if you was to say, Professor, I got this, a lot of things going on in my life right now, could I please have a 24-hour extension? They would feel more comfortable saying yes to you because you are sincere with it more so than a white teacher. A white teacher look at you and be like, I'm sorry. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, I understand that completely. But, I mean, having that extension is going to help you in that particular moment. But you know for the future references in the white school, if you know, like, this white man is going to give me a break, so I might as well work harder. You know what I'm saying? It molds you better in the long run. Does that make any sense to you?
I mean, it makes sense, but, I mean, you're going to have that on either end. My thing is this. Which is, you have to decide which is more important to you. Is it more important to you to go to a school and be around predominantly white people because you feel like you're going to have to deal with them in the real world and possibly not as learn as much as you could, and versus going to a university where the professors are there because they want to be there. They get to know you, you get to know them, and the things that they teach you take you beyond what's in a textbook. This was the thing. My professors at Albany State, they were so vested in their students, they took us beyond that because they would flat out tell us, like, look, okay, this is the real world. You already got two strikes against you. You're black and you're female. That's two strikes right there. So you're going to have to come in with something more than just what's in this textbook. You're going to have to come in with something more than that. It was not enough for me to sit in that classroom and have simply just learned what was in the chapters. It was not enough. That was unacceptable. Doing that, I got a textbook thrown at me, and I was put out of class, and I was told not to come back to class until I was going to behave like a scholar.
You know, that's amazing, because it took that to get your mindset on the right thing, right?
I mean, yeah, I did realize, okay, I don't know more. I have to know more than everybody else. And I was like, okay, I'm up for this challenge, and I did it.
But see, that's the crazy thing. That very same thing what you just said happened to me in high school. Now, that happened to me in high school when I was a horrible kid in high school. I'm not even going to lie.
I believe you.
Like, I'm serious. But it got to a point where this one teacher did the very same thing to me. And she said, look, if you got to be twice as good just to be considered equal, why not be twice as good just to be better? Like, I mean, I don't quite understand how that mindset of, like, okay, look at Dr. Martin Luther King. I mean, if you look at what he did and how smart he actually was, like, I mean, obviously graduating at 16 years old is an accomplishment. But, I mean, to graduate at 16 years old, but you don't know how much more he had to do just to learn, you know what I'm saying, at such a fast rate. I mean, he had to do so much more. Most people don't even talk about the whole idea that he graduated at 16. That is ridiculous. Like, I mean, come on. Like, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is when you have a mindset early like that, when you get into a college, you can jump right into it and be like, okay, well, I know what to expect. The whole idea that you have to be twice as good to be considered equal, I mean, if you go to a white, quote-unquote, white school, you already have that mindset. So there's no need for you to act, you know what I'm saying? There's no need for you to go to a college where they teach you that.
Well, people don't necessarily know that when they go to a white university.
Right.
Because
that's a personal thing.
Where are you going to learn that from if you're not told that at home? I mean, let's just be honest. We can just trail this back as far as the womb. We can take it back to Adam and Eve. I mean, but you're not necessarily going to get that. My question to you is, if you're not going to get it at home, and you don't get it in college, who's going to tell you that you have to do that?
Well, you're right. I mean, I'm not arguing the fact that most people don't get it, because I honestly believe it. But what I am saying is that you cannot expect one to have that mindset to know for a fact, you're like, okay, I know that I can't do this, and I know I can't. I got to, the spotlight's always on me. I got to be on my P's and Q's. Why would I want to set myself back and do that same exact thing over and up? I know this. You know what I'm saying? That type of thing. Why not throw me into an unfamiliar environment? As you said, humans are creatures of habit, naturally. So, I mean, if you put me in this environment, but I keep my integrity, you know what I'm saying? Because by no means have I ever bowed down to anyone. Like, that's the first thing that I don't do. You know what I'm saying? Because it gets to I guess what I'm saying is, if you're thrown into this environment, you learn how to adapt. You learn earlier, sooner, faster, because you have to. You got to. If you're in that environment, I'm not encouraging anybody to go to a white school, by the way. I'm going to tell you that right now. But what I am saying is, if you feel like going to an HBCU will allow you to learn, I guess, more of a quality type thing, more genuinely go to HBCU because it will help you better. You know what I'm saying? It help you find yourself, period. You know what I'm saying? It help you realize who you are, what you were made for. You know what I'm saying? Things like that. But if you don't need that cuddling comfort from, you know what I'm saying, from somebody, because honestly, I feel like I'm very independent person, period. I'm me. I'm not a black or a white person. I'm me. You know what I'm saying? Don't take that beyond what I just said, please, though, because I am black.
Okay. He said, period, question mark, parents, how well do you know your kids? This is what I'm going to say to you, and I say this all the time when I'm talking to high school students, when they're talking about colleges and things. I ask the question, how well do you know yourself? Are you one of those people who is going to do what they need to do on time without any motivation? Are you one of those who gets a project, you go home, and you start on the first day? Are you that kid that tells their mom at 6 o'clock the day before it's due, I need to go to the store and get some supplies so I can work on this project? Depending on which child you are determines which university, I think, which type of university you should go to. If you're one of those, you can hold your own. You're going to do what needs to be done. Nobody has to be on you. You need very little support. You can go to any university. If you need your hand to be held a little bit, because I promise you in HBCU, they're not going to hold you the whole time, but you need to know your child before you just kind of send them off into the wild, because I can say that I saw that with many of my classmates. I mean, I had classmates who graduated, you know, with the highest honors, who were in the running to be valedictorian, salutatorian, things like that, who did not graduate when they went off to college. They went off to a predominantly white school and could not handle it, at all, succumbed to the pressure of things, and didn't graduate. But everyone I went to Albany State with graduated within 5 years. Everyone.
See, that's the big difference. You can look at, I guess for all my football fans out there, you can look at the greatest college football player and say, he going to be good in the NFL, get into the NFL and suck. You tell me how to happen. You know what I'm saying?
Are you talking about T-ball?
Like, it's the same exact thing. I mean, I guess what I'm saying is it's all about the personality that you have.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, far as being separate but equal, you can look at that as a bad thing, and obviously on the scale, it is bad. I feel like it's bad. But at the very same time, you have to be smarter than someone if you have to go through the wire just to get to the clip, rather than somebody imitating the very same motions that you're going through, but yet they don't understand that they're barbed wire right above the whole time. They don't have that pressure. Just like the military men, when they're crawling through the barbed wire, that simulates the whole idea. But the, you know what I'm saying? It's the very same thing in what you're doing, but it's a big difference with the pressure on your back. You know what I'm saying? So I honestly feel like with the pressure on your back, you come out better for it.
I guess that depends on the personality. One point that I do want to point out, and this is something that has to really be considered, especially with very young kids, as far as their experiences and how they react to others. Now, I'm going to bring up a movie, Freedom Riders. Great movie. If you have not seen it, it will definitely sort of change the way you look at things and think about students, you know, just look at race and things like that. And there is this one character in the movie is a female, and she's Hispanic. And, of course, if you've seen the movie or the previews, you know that Hilary Swank was playing the teacher, so the teacher was white. And they were sitting there talking about experiences and the way they feel about others, and this Hispanic girl looked at her teacher, and she began talking about how white men came into her home and took her dad to prison, and he did not belong in prison. She talked about how they physically came in and drug him out with her and her mom standing there screaming and crying for their dad. And she looked at this lady, and she said, I hate white people. I hate all white people. White people took my daddy away from me. That is something you have to consider in that sense. I'm not talking about as far as hate, but think about experiences. Like if a child has had a negative experience with a particular race, but this is the only race they see when they're in school, how well are they going to react to it?
Exactly.
I mean, that has to be considered. I mean, because at some point, you have to feel like you can relate to the person who's telling you what to do. If you already have issues with authority, and now this person is already of a race that you're not particularly fond of because they did this, that, and the other to your family, how well are you going to learn from this person because you already have had a negative experience? What's going to happen?
You know, like, I guess the mindset is a big different. I understand everything, and I agree with you in the question, I guess the question that you posed. But, I mean, this real talk radio. Take it to the Bible. You tell me Jesus said something that's just kind of mind-boggling, confused them back then, and still confusing to this day. It says, love your enemies.
Uh-huh.
That is amazing. I mean, just think about it. How do you love an enemy? I mean, when you say enemy, he's not talking about necessarily the person that you hate. It's the person that you can't relate to. It's the person that you might not like. It's that person that you don't really get along with. What does it mean by love your enemy? That means work beside them. That means put away anything that has gone on between you two just so that you can accomplish a common task. I mean, honestly, if you want to, I guess, just get yourself separate from everybody so that you can learn genuinely, by all means, do that. That's the way that you feel like you should learn. Because honestly, I remember watching that movie too. There were other people in that same class session in which they began to explain how they felt, about the other race. And like what I found interesting was everybody came out. When they came out, what happened after that?
They began to
like each other to an extent. They were able to express themselves, and then they were able to sit down and be like, okay, we're going to put away these foolish acts so that we can just become, I guess, so that we can act together, I guess.
Now, let me point out something about this. Freedom Riders, great movie. I love the concept of it all. But anyone that comes from the educational world know that classroom is not real. That you do not have, it is based on a true story, but what I'm saying is that it's a true story and certain things had to sort of be exaggerated. That the way the government has now said all of these things have to be taught by this particular time in a 90-minute segment, let's just be honest, you don't have time to do your hour powwow with the students to let everybody talk about how they feel. I mean, you can do that, but you're going to be in the principal's office by the end of the day.
Yeah, you're right. But see, that's sad, though. It's sad that it has come to that. Because, I mean, if you just sit here and think about it, that's what I was talking about earlier. I mean, the principals or whoever is in charge above the principal have gotten to the point where they feel like they're trying to, I guess what I think they're doing is trying to limit all the cheating, all these standardized tests, all these things that you have to take. They're trying to keep the graduation rate genuine. You know what I'm saying? I think that's what they're trying to do.
But they're making it worse, actually.
Yes.
They're making it worse, actually. And let me just say this very quickly for people who have heard this stereotype, this myth as well. Blacks do not have the highest dropout rate in the U.S.
Well, I'm telling you that. Black people do not have the highest dropout rate.
No, but that has been one of the arguments for it as far as things being, you know, separate but equal. But I will say this, not even just looking at it in the sense of race, that segregation does work to an extent in education because you are now seeing schools who are segregating the boys from the girls. And the quality of education has definitely went up since they have segregated them because now the distraction of, okay, I'm trying to talk to this girl, you know, in the middle of class rather than learning, or, oh, this boy's going to be in there, so I need to make sure I'm sitting there looking real cute and let me just sound a little stupid when I ask a question to get his attention. That has now been taken away.
Is that really a distraction? I don't see that as a distraction. I don't see how something at hand will make you complete, like something will just make you completely take your attention to them. I don't see how that happens.
No, but you know, Kevin, sitting in class looking at the girl in the desk next to you when you should have been writing down the notes on the board.
That ain't got nothing to do with it. I might look at her, but believe me, I ain't going to just sit there and go, oh, God. Oh, I'm not going to do that. That's kind of crazy. That's insane. I don't know what God took there. He took me to be in that other class, the hall by themselves. That's where he needs
one
to be.
One with watch machine in
yeah,
the room.
Yeah, yeah, with the little stove, the little easy bake oven. Like, I just don't understand how that would be a complete distraction. I mean, obviously, I mean, I guess what my teachers did was just say, Jordan, pay attention. And I kind of like zoomed right back in, and I was at zero, and I was going back up into 100 again. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I get what you're saying. Right now, I'm going to attempt to take another call. I'm looking at a 404 number. So if you are listening, 404, I'm getting ready to pick up and talk to you. Good morning. You're on the air with Kay Sherrell. This is Real Talk Radio with Joy Lamar. Who am I speaking with? Wow, I'm just not scoring at all with the callers. Are you not listening to me? Let's take another call. Good morning. You're on the air with Real Talk Radio. This is Kay Sherrill with Joy Lamar. Who am I speaking with?
This is Brenda.
There we go.
Hi, Miss Brenda.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your comment for us this morning?
My comment for this morning is, I raised two boys in a small town. And if you want your children to be equal in a small town school system, you got to make them equal. You got to be in tune with the teachers. And any time that they ain't doing what you know that they should be doing, you go to that school and you tell them straight up. You tell your children, you don't say anything to them. You let me. You make your children respect them. But you go to that school system and you make sure they are getting what they need. That's where the parent has to step in if they want their children to be equal.
I completely can agree with that. I could see the child being, I guess, the person that needs to actually have the talk to, not the teachers, really. I mean, obviously, there are some teachers out there that does some messed up things. That's under the cover. But I can completely, yeah, that's a different show. You know what I'm saying? I can completely understand the fact that it falls on the parents, because everything that you do is going directly into that child, regardless if you don't even speak to a child. You walk by a child every single day, that child is learning something from you because he is watching you. He is noticing something.
Mm-hmm.
And he is seeing that you're not paying attention to it at all. That's what he's noticing. So if he can go to school, act up, come home, see that he got suspended, and you don't do anything or don't say anything, he's not gonna care.
Not gonna care at all. No, he's not. I like to tell a story about when one of my boys was in school.
Go ahead and tell the story.
And the story is, the teacher told one of my boys that he wasn't college material. Now, we're talking about a small town in Southwest Georgia.
Why wasn't he college material?
Well, she felt like his attitude wasn't good enough. He was very, very mischievous, but she felt his attitude wasn't good enough, so this is something she told him. Well,
wow.
Little did she know that he was going to come home and tell it. And I went out there and I let her know, and she lied. She backed down.
How old was he when you told him he wasn't college material?
He was in the 10th grade.
Ah, 10th grade. So he was BAD, and she was like, no, sir.
Yeah.
You are not college material.
Right. Well, she backed that up. When I approached her with it, she backed it up, and she did the right thing. That's why I'm saying that it takes the parents to step in there to make your children equal if the system not doing it.
I mean, you definitely have to have that on hand. If you don't have a child that's going to handle it on their own, you definitely want to make sure that you are involved in doing it, because I had a similar experience. A grade register for high school counselor told me I should do vocational prep, because it would be less math, and so it would be easier for me since, you know, I wasn't really looking at going to college. And apparently, the only thing this lady did was look at me when I walked in the door. She never looked at my file, because I was already in high school credits, college prep.
Mm-hmm.
Was already in SAT prep class. to get ready to go to not just a college, but to go to a university. So I can definitely agree with you in that sense that you do have to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is one of the things that, you know, it's sad to say you don't always have parents who are going to be involved that way, who don't necessarily know that themselves. And that was one of the things that you did have, though, with segregated schools. For the parents who weren't doing their jobs, you had teachers who recognized that, and because they were so desperate, they would then take on that responsibility, even though it is not there.
Exactly. I can agree with you on that. Like, it is, like, there's pros and cons to everything. I honestly feel like that is the biggest pro, like that right there. Like, being able to go to a school, like, they made so many laws so you can't touch the students, you can't do this to the students, can't yell at, can't do all of this. Because back then, all it took was a golden ruler pop you on the side of the arm or something, and then you stopped and you no longer did that act again, and you actually began to pay attention. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like that was, like, that's the biggest thing that actually separates from, I don't know how it would have been in white schools. Maybe they would have been yelling and kicking, little Timmy just in there kicking everybody, and they'd be like, stop, Timmy, stop. They probably were doing that. I don't know what they were doing. But I know over here it was straight order in every aspect. Walking, I think that's where the single file line came from, right there.
Exactly. I can 100% agree with you on that. I want to say right now, thank you to Ms. Brenda for listening to the show. She is one of our faithful weekly listeners. If this is your first time joining us with Real Talk Radio, I do hope that you will continue to join us every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. with the host, Kay Sherelle. Of course, I am America's favorite Southern Belle. And then we have...
And then we have the magnificent Jordan Lamar.
Ooh, in his own mind, people, in his own mind. So if you're just tuning in, we're talking about Brown versus the Board of Education in a sense of 55 years later. Were we better off when we were segregated? One of the things I will say, too, that is missing now, and this hurts me because I make it my mission, black or white, this is my new mission. You know, people, you always say it takes a village to raise a child. That's the truth. It takes a village. It takes everybody in that community to recognize that children are our future and to then become vested in them. And so that is one of the things that I, you know, try to do within reason, within the limits of the educational system, to do become part of that village, because it takes more than just simply walking in the classroom, teaching the child for 90 minutes, and then leaving. You know, what if this child plays sports? That's why I try to make a point of going to at least one of each sporting event. Like, I went to volleyball games, I go to the football games, basketball, you know, track meets, swim meets, because the child needs to know that you care. And that's the bottom line. If children don't feel like you care about them, they're not going to listen to you. That's it. I mean, they have that mind frame all through school, maybe up until about high school when they begin to mature a little bit more, but they have to feel like you care about them. And that is one of the things. You have to gain their trust. You have to show them that you care. So it takes a village. You know what I'm saying? It takes that neighbor who sees this child, you know, walking home from school, and that child, you know, as he passes by, well, you know, hey, little Johnny, how was school today? You don't know what kind of change you can make. Just because you don't necessarily have a child in the education system, it doesn't mean that you should not be vested in it. I feel like everyone should be vested in it, because the children that are going through the system are then going to become leaders.
Our future.
Exactly. I mean, and I'm just saying that I do not want another sick student to be president.
Wow. You're so right. Like, it's crazy. Don't want, you know, those C minuses and C pluses. Just don't manage to appeal to me as president, like, at all.
I don't want another C student to be president. I mean, I'm just going to throw that out there. Do what you want with it. I mean, because if you were an A student, you would recognize that a program did not work when you were governor of a certain state.
Yeah.
And then when you became president, it's not going to work then either. Just wanted to throw that out there. Okay. So right now we're just going to wrap up the show. Jordan, any ending comments, any final little things you would like to talk about with this segregation thing?
No, I don't think there's anything for segregation that I have at this particular time.
Okay. So nothing else on segregation. I challenge anyone who has not read the case of the Brown versus the Board of Education, if you have not read up on this particular case, I definitely would recommend that you look it up. I mean, you will find so many things that were untold when it came to segregation. One thing in particular, and they just did a movie review up here in Atlanta, and I missed it. It was about the Clinton 12. And many people don't know about the Clinton 12. They know more about the Little Rock 9. And the Clinton 12 happened in Clinton, Tennessee. And this was 12 black students who were coming out of a segregated school system who were then going to integrate this high school. And it was 12 of them, and their story is just being told. I mean, it was so unknown for so many years. I had briefly heard about it when I was at Albany, one of my professors mentioned it, and I never went back and looked up the whole story. So that is definitely something that you can do some research on if you haven't already heard of the Clinton 12. Look at it. Everybody knows about the Little Rock 9 integrating schools, but it was definitely, it was definitely a trying time for everyone. And if I have any listeners out there who went through during, segregated times, if you would definitely send me an email, give me your comments, your responses on what it was like, I would definitely love to hear it. Another thing that I would like to hear from all of you is just how you feel about the show. So you can send those responses to realtalk@shirelleinc.com. If you're on Twitter, definitely send me a tweet, @KSherelle. George, what is your Twitter ID? Lamar All Star @Twitter. I told you people, he's a legend in his own mind.
I know, right? I'm a Lamar All Star, at all times.
So definitely want to just a real talk at SherelleE.com, JoeLamar@SherelleE.com, KSherelle@SherelleE.com. Show next week is titled Preach. If you're a Wu-Tang fan, you know what I'm talking about, cash rules, everything around me. We're going to talk about blacks and money. What are we doing with our money? Are we mismanaging our money, or are we right on point with where we should be? That's going to definitely be the discussion for next week, so check out the show. Right now, I want to just briefly mention the crazy headline of the week. Running out of time, this topic was just too hot for us today. The crazy headline that I found, a lady called 911, because her 14-year-old son would not stop playing video games. She called 911 and said that she could not stop her son from playing video games and wanted someone to please come out and make him stop playing.
He's playing Madden. He won't stop playing Madden. He just stop playing Madden. No. He's playing Madden. I don't know what to do. Could you come and fire hose him down or something? What do you want me to do? Seriously,
I don't know. I just thought that was completely crazy. So definitely check back to the show page later. I will definitely have more information posted on that along with notes for today. Everyone, thank you for listening to the show. KSherelle, I love you to death. You are the reason why I get up so early in the morning. If you're looking at the show page, you'll see that my book, Volunteers, post on there. You can buy it on Amazon. You can go to my website, SherelleE.com, and purchase the book as well. Anyone who purchased the book this weekend, I'm giving you free shipping, and I'm going to send you a coupon to save on future books and CDs from me. So that is definitely something that you would want to take advantage of. Also, just want to let you know that there's a huge show coming up the first Saturday in February, and this is going to be, I'm telling you, a show you will not want to miss. It's actually going to be one of the longer episodes because I do have several guests that will be on the show, so you definitely want to just stay tuned for all of that. Everyone who listened to the show today, bring somebody new with you next when you tune in to the show so that we can, keep this discussion going, because I promise you, the show about cream, you do not want to miss. So, all the contact information from you one last time. Twitter, I am KSherelle on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook, become a fan. Do my Facebook page is up, myspace.com/ Kimberly Sherrell. Definitely go there. I have actual audio of my work that you can listen to. Of course, the website, SherrellEat.com. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I love you. Right now, I'm going to take out with Kayla one last time, because sometimes you really just have to take a minute and just let things kind of roll off your back.
Just roll. Just breathe.
Yeah, okay. I don't know what I'm doing. So just pray for us. Like the homo
say, bless his heart. Bless his heart. Bless his polar heart.
Thank you.
And then
the
man who knows a thing knows he knows not a damn thing at all. And every time I felt the hurt and I felt the giving getting me up off the wall. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it ride. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it breathe. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it ride. I'm just gonna take a minute and let it breathe. How did Mandela get the will to surpass the everyday when injustice had him caged and trapped in every way? How did Gandhi ever withstand a hunger strikes and all? Didn't do it to gain power or money, if I recall, it's a gift. I guess I'll pass it on. Mother thinks it'll lift the stress of Babylon. Mother knows. My mother, she suffered blows. I don't know how we survived such violent episodes. I was so worried. It hurts to see you bleed, but as soon as you came out the hospital, you gave me sweet. Yeah. They tried to take you from me, but you still only gave them some prayers and sympathy. Dear mama, you helped me write this by showing me to give. It's priceless.